And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow, that's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
We're recording. Okay.
Gal Gadot.
Yeah. Gal Gadot, yeah.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Umar Pagan Ampake Pagan. Joining me right now, Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. And we're going to be talking about the first female superhero movie since Elektra in 2005. It's Wonder Woman. We've been waiting for this for 75 years, really.
Wow.
And I say 75 years because we've been waiting 75 years for a great female superhero movie, which this one is.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. No, absolutely.
Unequivocally.
Huh, Patty Jenkins, you may have saved the DC Extended Universe
yeah.
by telling a coherent story.
Let's see how Justice League works out first. We have to see whether the lessons of this movie have been taken to heart.
But when this movie was finished, they had already started Justice League when they were already finishing.
I think they started Justice League soon after.
How much like crossover can they have learned from this?
So the movie, of course, was directed by Patty Jenkins, who you will know from Monster. She's done a lot of television in the in-between years. It stars Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. It's got Chris Pine, Connie Nielsen, Robin Wright, and David Thewlis, who's always a great addition to any film, I find. I'm always pleasantly surprised when I see him.
And I always expect him to turn into a werewolf at some point.
At some point, yeah. And it's an origin story, and it's set during World War I, and that is pretty much all you need to know going in to watch this film. I mean, you know Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
You've seen Linda Carter on television across the world. It didn't matter where you lived. I mean, I grew up watching that series with my mum. We would sit down every week. I think it was shown on a weekend. I think it was on Saturdays on Malaysian television.
I think it was classic Saturday afternoon filler all over the world.
Right. Yeah. It was family viewing in my house.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah, so we all know the character, but I think an origin story is perfectly justified because very few people on the street, I mean, if you go and ask someone, hey, what do you know about Superman? They'll be like, oh, Kryptonite.
Yeah.
Batman, oh yeah, his parents were killed. Spider-Man, bitten by a spider. I mean, that kind of knowledge is there, I guess, even among the masses.
Yeah, but Spider-Man's origin has been untold umpteen times at this point.
That's true.
But if you ask someone, hey, where does Wonder Woman come from? I don't think people will be able to answer that question. So this movie is a perfectly justified origin tale.
Absolutely. And the fact that they take on the multiple versions of her origin tale, because there has been multiple ones over the years, up until the halfway point or near the end, you don't know which one is real. And it's nice the way they handle that. You know, it is a weird thing that her original comic book origin was. She was made out of clay and Zeus gave her life.
Yeah.
That's a hard sell in middle America these days.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, yeah.
Also, we went into this movie after three very, very bad DC films.
Yes.
Which, while financially successful, were critically panned.
Yeah.
We were not shy about our critical opinions of those films.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went in with somewhat low expectations, which was exceeded in a great way.
Absolutely. I think one of the first things, I think was it you, Umar, or was it Ian, as soon as the credits started to roll, I think it was Umar turned over and said, this is a movie with actual story, with actual character.
Yeah.
You know, and that in itself seems to be an amazing thing when it comes to DC movies, right? I recently, unfortunately, had to watch Batman vs. Superman over the weekend.
And you were held down.
Well, I wasn't held down. I was playing with my phone, but there was a family gathering. It was on TV. I couldn't change the channel. So, and it was one of those things where the scenes don't really match up with each other. They just look like random moments, right? Whereas in this particular film, Wonder Woman was great. There was absolute movement from Act 8, from Act 1 to Act 2 to Act 3. And I just thought it was great. I think we were all... I think there was a point where I actually teared up. I wasn't quite sure which point, but I think I did.
Oh, I was tearing up constantly. Just because I was so happy to see this.
So, yeah.
Because the first act alone has more plot.
Absolutely.
Scenes as opposed to moments.
And character development.
And most importantly, heart.
Yeah.
Than two Superman movies. There's more character in this movie with Wonder Woman on her own than there is in any of the Man of Steel films for any character.
Yeah.
Like, you know more about her. You know what she wants, what she desires, her character. Like, there's a character there you can empathize with a lot better than you can with the Man of Steel. Even though we all can see the outsider's perspective for Superman, they stumbled with that in Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
There's a video online by a video guy we like to watch a lot on YouTube, The Nerdwriter, and he does a great piece on Batman versus Superman on the difference between Zack Snyder's moments versus scenes. This idea that Zack Snyder had these movie moments, but they're utterly empty when you don't have anything behind them. Wonder Woman has those moments, but because the build-up to them means something and you understand the character and you feel for the character, they are so much better than those hollow moments that he manages to put out.
Yeah. They're earned. They're absolutely earned. Yeah. You know, we all have those moments in those superhero movies, everything from Deadpool
He's going to do a superhero landing.
The way to, you know, Captain America and Spider-Man, all of that, where there is that scene where he puts on or she puts on her suit for the first time and then, you know, comes up and does something awesome.
Captain America taking out the Quinjet on his bike.
Correct.
Yeah.
All of that happens in this movie, but the build-up to that, I mean, we have it in The Man of Steel and the BVS, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
The build-up to that moment has your hair standing on end, and it's been a long time since my hair has stood on end for a DC movie. The last time was The Dark Knight.
And one of these moments is just her climbing a ladder.
Yeah.
And that's the music, I think...
Harry Gregson-Williams.
Harry Gregson-Williams' score, which doesn't rely too much on the Wonder Woman guitar scream riff that we've heard before. When that kicks in, and she's seen the horrors of World War One, and she is honoring the old the Wonder Woman character's real role is to bring peace to the world of man with her fists, and she takes this moment and she takes up this ladder, and the music is swelling, and everything leading up to this point has been like, she's sick and tired of having. She passed like 6 to 7 people along the way, and they're all like, "We can't help these people. We got to get on with the mission." And at this point, she's had enough.
Yeah.
And just the hairs are standing up in my arms. I'm thinking about it. Just the music swells. She climbs up that ladder, and then there's a series of awesome scenes.
Yeah.
And the awe on people's faces around her, and that's what I want from my superhero.
But here's the thing,
because she's being a hero.
But it's not. That's one right. And what you're saying, Ian, it's completely true. I'm getting it right now, just talking about it. But we've seen that shot. That shot's been in trailers, right? That's one of the shots in the trailers.
But it's because it's all together.
Exactly. So that build up to that character, to that moment is great. Even though the moment has been ruined by having been in the trailer, it still sort of gives us that same feeling and that same emotion, though.
You've seen the loop on the roller coaster, but having gone through the rest of it,
it hits
so much harder.
So much
and compare that to the scene in Batman v Superman where they give away the Trinity, the Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman together on screen for the first time. It's every comic book geek's wet dream. It was given away in the trailer, and when you finally see it on the big screen as well, it felt hollow and empty.
Yeah.
Because it didn't come from any real place.
And we didn't know who she was or what she wanted as well in that scene.
Yeah. And in this movie...
Or what Batman or Superman, where they were or what they wanted.
Yeah. We had no idea what any one of them wanted.
Yeah.
And in this movie, Gal Gadot, the way she plays her part, there's this bright-eyed nature to the way she plays this part, and it fits perfectly. She's coming from Paradise Island, right? Themyscira, where there's no war, there's no conflict,
all women
live in peace, exactly. There's no men. And of course, when she's thrown into this world, which is kind of hideous and ugly, and it's how you would expect that character to react. It's a total fish-out-of-water situation, but also she's coming from that baggage of living in peace and paradise. And she can't understand why man is like this. And all of that's conveyed. I mean, this is the first time we've seen her act.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's good.
Yeah. And, well, act while not on the back of a motorcycle or
in the
car.
That's right. Fast and the Furious doesn't count.
Yeah, no.
She sells that sense of naivete, but also, like, she's great in the action scenes. And as I said, part of the feeling of going with that character is the look on her face half the time when she sees the horrors around her and has to put up with the insanities of the world of men. You know, there's scenes that are played. There's a little bit of humor in this film, but not too much. I think they balance that pretty well. Mm. There's a little bit with her dealing with modern feminine clothes of the 1900s and how to walk, where to put your sword and the shield for the modern lady. It's like, it's a difficult issue.
There's a really great scene, which is played for laughs, but I thought it was really, really touching as well, where she has to exit a building through a revolving door.
With her sword and shield.
With her sword and shield. Yeah. And I thought that was brilliantly, brilliantly executed. Yeah. How did you guys feel about the World War One setting? Because I really loved it.
I think it worked out a lot better than they planned. And having seen some interviews with Patty Jenkins, it's probably, they will probably go to the sequel maybe for World War II, because World War II is the, you know, boo Nazis. But it makes more sense, I think, for the plot for this movie, which factors into the Greek gods, that it is this, the war to end all wars the first time around. You know, it is this kind of more gray area. I think the World War II is too black and white.
There was a big evil in
there
it
was a
of
big
Hitler.
Evil, yeah. And I think as well, I think World War I was really that it was that war where neither side had sort of worked out the gentlemanly way to fight.
Yeah. Right?
No poison, no, you know, so
in chemicals.
This one, chemical warfare was still being used. They were using mustard gas. And this movie sort of tied that up, that the idea that no holds barred, absolute the evilest of evils, and this, I'm going to kill my villain no matter how I do it.
Including civilians and all that.
Including
kind of
civilians
stuff.
And all that. Yeah, yeah. So I think, yeah, I think the setting for World, I think the World War One setting sort of really made it a more obvious change of scenery from when she goes from Themyscira to actual, you know, land of men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
depending on where the Themyscira is, like, it makes more sense, I think, with that world theater, World War theater, than it would with the World War II to get her involved.
Correct. I mean, also, you're assuming that in World War One, you know, you have very primitive tracking mechanisms. It makes sense that people would not have located this mysterious island in the middle of the Pacific Atlantic somewhere.
It's hidden island. That's fine.
It's
the Silurian
found
it.
Hidden island, yeah. I also like the idea of World War One introducing Wonder Woman as a kind of the first superhero that the world has ever seen, which was similar to the concept of Captain America, the First Avenger. I mean, this movie had very similar beats to Joe Johnston's take on that, introducing a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed superhero into a world of cynicism and mayhem and just misery, and how that doesn't break her or break him.
No.
And I think World War One's a great little setting for that because, yeah, the world was in absolute misery, and to have someone who could see past that and see towards the good in man, which is what she's supposed to do.
Yeah, and she even gets her own bunch of diverse Howling Commandos as well.
Yeah, she does.
That's true.
Yeah, she does. You've got a Native American?
Yes.
You've that was weird, though.
Mexican?
That was a weird choice.
That was a weird one, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know where Samir was from. He was like
Middle
vaguely
Eastern?
Middle Eastern.
But, yeah, yes. Probably like Turkish
or something.
Yeah. That was weird. But I mean, the Scotsman you can go with, you know, there would be different
types. But the Native American
was like,
weird. Yeah.
Are you sure you want to open that bag of hornets?
Mean, for me, it was weird enough that Chris Pine, an American, was a British secret. And I guess I was okay with that.
Yeah.
But then suddenly you throw in a red Indian. You go, I don't know. That chief character just seemed a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably, I'd say they get some flack because you get flack for anything these days. But he was treated mostly okay, but it's like, there's no reason for it to be there. So why do that? Put some Belgians in there. I don't know.
I have to say, the treatment of all those characters was done with great restraint and respect, right?
Yeah.
None of them slipped into any, well, the Scotsman was kind of drunk all the time, but that's about it.
Yeah, and there's a nice moment between the Sammy character and Wonder Woman where they're talking about, like, we can't always be what we want to be. Like, there's a bit of pathos to those characters, and that Ewan Bremner's Scottish character is quite clearly suffering from PTSD.
Yeah.
And somebody says, I wanted to be an actor, but I'm the wrong color.
Yeah.
This is what I have to do. It's a nice kind of realistic and grounding touch to this Amazon warrior beating up tanks.
Oh, when she lifted that tank over her head, I was hoping to God that wasn't just poster design. I wanted to see that scene in the film.
Yeah.
And she does, and it's great.
There is a couple, like the walking across no man's land and this taking the village scenes. I was slightly worried from the trailers of the action of how it was going to look, because there was a lot of those shots of her sliding and doing ridiculous leaps. They've managed to balance that out nicely, where the one shot where she knees someone through a window is like, he's the last guy, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to have fun with this one. Show off kill.
Yeah.
But an awful lot of it was nicely grounded, and for the most part, I think the effects worked well. I think there was some of the stuff near the beginning on the Paradise Island. There was a weird, it didn't quite match what was going on. I think there was actors working against green screen or something like that. And because of the bright daylight, it didn't quite match or something, and it felt off and kind of ruined the illusion for me a few times.
I think one of the other things I really enjoyed about this film, and it's something that Marvel's trying to do as well, is to create standalone movies.
Yeah.
This one was very much a standalone movie. They didn't try to shoehorn any connections with Justice League. I mean, there was a little bit in the beginning where you see Wayne Enterprises and Bruce Wayne censor a little something. Yeah, Bruce Wayne censor a little gift, but that's about it,
yeah,
right?
The whole movie's a flashback and there's no ties.
Correct. And I think that's great. It's been such a long time since we've seen a movie that's just a movie in itself with no post-credit tag, for example, trying to build up something towards Justice League. It just is.
And it gives them the room to just tell the story they want to tell. And there's a lot of moments that would have been squeezed out if they had to squeeze in, like, what are they called? Parademons or mother boxes and all that kind of stuff. Like, there'd be a lot of those small, nice moments that really sell the character. Like, the moment she sees a baby, because she's the youngest person on the Mascara. And
the
never
only
having
child.
Only child. And she'd never seen a baby before. And just the squeal of joy as she runs over and Steve Trevor trying to bring her away from that. It's just beautiful moments. Yeah. You would have lost those if you tried to. Those are the moments you wanted in Batman versus Superman, but you didn't get.
Can I also say, Chris Pine was a very good foil.
Yes.
He didn't steal the limelight from Gal Gadot at all.
Yeah.
No.
I thought he was very understated in his role. He had his part to play as a Howling Commando, if you will, or whatever you want to call his character. And they did their bits. But this was great. This was a real testament to trying to put the spotlight on a female superhero.
Yeah. There's a beautiful moment with the lasso, where he's trying to prove to her, like, she's getting shouted down. She gets that shouted down a lot in the London scenes because no one listens to a woman in these days.
Well, it's 1918, right?
She can
right?
pick all of them up and throw them out the window and trying not to do that.
Yeah.
And just this beautiful scene between her and Chris Pine, and he just grabs the lasso and so he can tell her, he can prove to her what he's going to say. And I just thought that moment was fantastic. And it is, he's not shouting her down. He's always trying to just, like, keep it on the down low. We'll sort it later.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really well done. It's like, he's not mansplaining to her.
He doesn't, yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. There's not a single moment where he mansplains anything to her.
She figures out the revolving door on her own.
Yeah, there's not a single moment where he's condescending in any way. And I think that stuff is just incredibly well written. It could have been really annoying.
Yeah.
You know, looking at the credits, you know what excited me most? The fact that David Goyer's fingerprints were not anywhere to be seen in this film. And I think that goes a long way to why this movie works so well.
Mm.
The story was by Zack Snyder and the Brain Trust over at Warner, who are sorting out all the DC movies. But, you know, this is very much, in my opinion, a Patty Jenkins movie. Yeah. I mean, I think her fingerprints are all over this. And I think it's really, I mean, she's done a great, you know, when was the last time a female director took on a superhero movie? Punisher Warzone.
Oh, yeah.
I looked it up. That was the last time. That was not a great film.
No.
But Patty Jenkins has done a tremendous job. I'm in love with this film.
Yeah, I want her to come back and do everything else from now on.
Yeah.
Everything
Pretty
else
please.
We see. She's
Absolutely,
got, again,
yeah.
it would come back to those core tenets of there's a plot to it, there's characters we care about, and there's actually heart in the movie. Yeah.
And there's people being heroes.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a real villain.
Yeah.
And it's like a bad German dude. That's what I want my villain to be. I want him to be a scene-chewing German bad guy.
Danny Houston's pretty good at bad
Superman.
Guys.
Not Superman.
Yes. Yeah. Not Superman, yeah. Not your beacon of hope and light should not be your villain.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, dude, you said it right up at the top. This movie has so much heart.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking for when we read superhero comics. That's what we're looking for when we go into any kind of heroic story. That's what we want to see.
And they play with the villains. You have your Boo-Hiss villains, but they play with that nicely. You know, the expectation is set up that it's one thing and it's not that.
Yeah.
And that was a nice shock.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
I did that too.
Same. Yeah.
And I was like, You've enthralled me till this point, and now you're throwing in a third act twist. Thank you very much. And now we have dual battles going on, and there's so much going on.
Yeah.
Again, some of the effects in that scene were a bit wonky because
I think they were better than the effects on the front, though.
Yeah, but it is kind of like, you know, we're fighting in the dark with flames and stuff. It's a bit old hat at this point, I think, but it is well handled. And there's a beautiful moment in the middle with the deafness.
Yes, that was really, yeah.
So that's what I was going to say.
Again, it's really like sweet. We're going to have this two battle between gods. Why would you care? Because of this one conversation that you can't really hear.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought that was remarkably well done. And they play out that conversation, and there is a great line in that conversation. I'm not going to spoil it, but pay attention and just listen for that line, because I think that made the movie for me.
Yeah.
Between Steve Trevor and Diana Prince and Wonder Woman. Oh, this is a great film.
So, what we have to worry about now is the course correction. Is this a course correction? because, as we said, we don't know what's... Yeah. We're not 100% sure on the production timelines, yeah. But this has, like, it's a movie first rather than a marketing plan.
Yeah.
And will this mean that Justice League is going to have something similar and the following movies? I mean, it bodes well, I think, for Aquaman, because that only started shooting a while ago.
Yeah.
It did. And also, James Wan, man.
Yeah.
He makes good movies.
Yeah.
I like his creative vision on things. It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
So what's after the Flash one keeps stalling?
Flash keeps losing directors.
Ironically, have a director.
Flash can't get off the starting blocks.
Oh.
They still don't have a director.
Yeah.
And I remember reading this article, which basically said, what world do we live in when Robert Zemeckis was the third choice director for The Flash?
The darkest timeline.
It is the darkest timeline. But folks, go watch Wonder Woman. You will have a great old time at the cinema. I'm going to watch it again.
Me
and
too.
Maybe again. After that,
to make more money than Batman versus Superman.
Oh no, we have to do
just
that.
Just to shut up the internet.
Yeah. We have to get everybody out to watch this several times.
Yes.
Just to shut up the internet.
Yeah. And also to prove to the studios that this movie can do well, even though it's a female-led superhero movie. That's true. Yeah.
And also the fact that, you know, ironically, this movie borrows so much from the Marvel formula of what superhero films are. Yeah, right?
I just saw a tweet this morning about, ironically, this looks like a Marvel Phase 1 movie.
It does.
Which is a good thing.
It's laying
groundwork.
Yeah,
it's not building.
Yeah.
It's not starting with the
penthouse. It's not trying to jump. Yeah, that's true.
All right. Wonder Woman is in cinemas right now. We clearly loved it. We've gushed about it for long enough.
Yes.
If you do see it, when you do see it, tweet me. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.